Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
And it's 8:50 on Morning Edition and time for our pre-opening commodity market report this morning with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending August 31st like this. Wheat, 14.1 million bushels, corn, 36.0 million, and soybeans, 20.6 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell with the folks at Strategic Farm Marketing in just a minute or two. Cash hog prices today are called mostly steady, but there are some weak undertones in certain areas, mainly in the eastern Corn Belt. Terminals are called narrowly mixed, tops from $44.50 to $50. Peoria is called steady to 50 cents higher today with a top price of $44.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, September 7th, voluntarily reported to negotiated swine purchases were 12,732. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $59 to $69.59. The weighted average was $66.34, a loss of 73 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $48.88 to $55, and the weighted average was $51.53. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 19,513. The base price range was $59 to $71. The weighted average, $67.78, a loss of $1.11 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $47 to $55.84, and the weighted average was $52.10.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather, AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. Taking a look at the Midwest Corn Belt. Some fine weather is in the offing for most of the belt today. Temperatures getting up into the low 80s in the southern half of the belt, 70s farther north. Good maturation weather today, but we do have a slowdown in maturation expected because we're going to have another slow-moving weather system move across the Midwest Corn Belt over the weekend into next week. Rain will start to form in northwestern sections later today and cover northern parts of the Midwest Corn Belt, including northern Illinois and Indiana tomorrow. And then that area will slowly shift southward a bit and provide scattered showers and thunderstorms for the early part of next week. So there will be some slowdown in crop maturation because that is going to lower the daytime high temperatures. And that is not going to be a major problem, but it is going to slow down progress here a little bit. And rainfall will probably be highest up around portions of Iowa and northern Missouri, and a little bit lighter as you get farther to the east. Parts of southern Wisconsin could pick up at 3/4 of an inch to an inch over the next few days as well. It does look like the eastern Corn Belt, parts of Ohio and central and southern Indiana into southern Illinois and Kentucky could stay dry for a couple more days here, so that'll be beneficial for crop maturation. Now, as we look ahead, it looks like we'll warm up a bit for the latter part of next week, and then a cold front comes through the Midwest about Friday of next week. That's going to send temperatures down to more autumnal levels. But it does look like for the majority of the Corn Belt, temperatures are still only going to drop back into the 40s and low 50s. So we're not looking at any frost threat yet. And, of course, that is the middle of September at that point. We're looking at the weekend of the 16th and 17th. I think we'll see a lot of areas in the Corn Belt starting to see low temperatures in the 40s and some daytime highs in the 50s. So that is something to watch, but right now it does not look like we're going to be having frosty weather in our neck of the woods even at that point. So the threat of frost on the crops is becoming less and less likely for this season. Of course, if one were to appear in late September, it could still have a bit of an impact. We don't see that coming now, but that would be the only chance, really, that there could be a frost problem. Nothing really early is showing up yet on the map, so that is something to not really worry about. Now, we are having some uncertainty in the extended range because of what's going on in the tropics. And Tropical Storm Florence is still well out in the Atlantic. It's moving northwestward, generally in the direction toward Bermuda. It's expected to intensify into a hurricane over the next few days. It's a rather large storm. It's not your classic tropical storm right now. But it's a big one out there, and that's going to slow down the west-to-east progress of weather systems. So some areas that get into the rain, probably the northwestern Midwest, could stay in rain for several days. And the areas farther to the southeast will probably stay dry for several days as there won't be a big change in weather. Now, as far as the wheat country, it still looks like rain is on the way for portions of southern Nebraska, northern, central, and western Kansas, the Oklahoma Panhandle, and much of eastern Colorado, at least southeastern Colorado. So that will improve conditions for planting of the hard red winter wheat belt crops. The area that will not get a whole lot of rain, at least not yet, is central Oklahoma into north central Texas. So some of those areas remain very dry, but some other important growing areas getting some important precipitation. And that's a look at the growing areas for this morning. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 483 and a quarter, down three quarters. Last trade down 2.5. March, 492, up a quarter. Last trade up a quarter. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 420, down a quarter. Last trade up a quarter. March, 437.5, down a quarter. Last trade up 1.75. July, 450.5, down three quarters. Last trade up a quarter. September corn opened at 231.5, up three quarters. Last trade down a quarter. December, 245.5, down a quarter. Last trade down a quarter. March, 259.5, down a quarter. Last trade up a quarter. May, 268.25, unchanged. Last trade down three quarters. July, 276 down one. Last trade down a quarter. Red line December 291 down three quarters. Last trade down a quarter. September beans opened at 537.5 down one. Last trade down three quarters. November 549.75 down a quarter. Last trade down one. January 563 down a quarter. Last trade down three quarters. March 575.25 up a quarter. Last trade unchanged. July 597.5 up 2.75. Last trade up 2.75. September soybean meal opened at 159.80 up 20. Last trade up 20. October soybean oil opened at 24.42 unchanged. Last trade down 6. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is located in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Ed.
And good morning, Dave.
Well, we've been trading a choppy market all week, primarily on technicals. What little fundamental news we had this morning in the export sales didn't seem all that impressive. Is that indeed the case?
Yeah, that's been the mentality from Chicago on down this morning, is that they're a little disappointed with the export sales. I mean, corn, they were looking for 900 to 1.4 million metric tons. We only got 914. So on the bottom end, that's kind of the lowest export sales type of activity we've seen in some time for corn. Wheat was also on the bottom end of the range. Beans were kind of right in the middle towards the upper end. But again, no bullish surprises there. So, you know, the concern I know, for example, from the wheat pit is that with the rally that wheat has seen over the last few days and maybe week or 10 days, if you want to say so, that those numbers have curtailed exports. And does that mean we need to head back down again if we want to help the demand?
Certainly the March highs has provided some pretty stiff overhead resistance in the Chicago market.
Yes, and I think that that's going to continue to be that way from the technical side, and then also from the fundamental side, Dave, with corn and soybean harvest basically right at our fingertips right now. I think you're going to struggle to see wheat try to sustain the rally just with in sympathy with the other two grains and the fact that they're probably going to leak a little lower over the next 30 to 45 days because of the impending harvest and expectations for a pretty good crop all around.
It seems as though we put a cash low in this in the markets, in the corn in particular, but in the last day or two, there's growing suspicion that the harvest might be a little bit later on than first anticipated because of dry down. Does that mean that we might see a second cash low?
It wouldn't surprise me to see one more basis run down. If the first, you know, you get to that 25 to 60% harvested level, and if it's all coming off at one time, Dave, and guys are a little worried about it. And I know they're also worried about corn and beans being ready at the same time, and you know, flopping heads back and forth and whatever. We may make one more run down, but I think our downside risk in the basis is probably not more than 5-6 cents from where it is right now. And you're right, we have seen it increase 2 to 4 cents at least here in Central Illinois over the last 10 days. You know, what's also helping the basis levels to firm is the fact that some of the cooperative storage rates are very competitive this year with the carries in the market. Some of your DP and storage rates at your elevators are going to make it very attractive for guys to go that route. So in order for the elevator to increase ownership, he's had to pop his basis up a little bit.
Thank you very much, Ed.
You bet, Dave. Thanks.
Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.